If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know it's been a few weeks since we've been in Colossians and what have you, but it may still be a few more weeks before we get back into Colossians. What we are going over is a new series, and it's going to take up a number of weeks. It is something I think that we need to give attention to about being a healthy church. And what does a healthy church look like? And today, in the passage of Scripture that we're going over, is about being committed, functioning members of the church. We must understand one thing about the church. The church is not a country club. It is not just a social gathering. You are called here for a purpose. And it's the same with every church member in every church. Everybody's called to a place to minister. You are not called here to be ministered to, per se. You are called here to be ministered to and to minister. God has given each one of us certain gifts and certain talents that we are to use in service to Him, that we are to use in the church itself to serve their community or whatever the case is, but ultimately to serve Christ. And so throughout this series, we're going to go over a number of things. Like I said, it'll take up a number of weeks. And then after we're done with this, we'll jump back into Colossians. But our text today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We will begin in verse 12 and read through verse 19. Stand with me as we read the Scripture and give honor to God's Word. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? Let's have a moment's word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again come into Your presence, and we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Father God, we thank You for the privilege to know You and the privilege to serve You. Father, we ask that You'd open up the eyes of our hearts this morning, that we would take in Your Word, that we would come to understand it, that, Father God, we would be better servants for You, that, Father God, we would fulfill our calling individually and as a church. Father God, You call us to ministry, every one of us. Father God, help us to see that. Help us to act upon that, that, Father God, we would use our gifts and talents to serve the church. And in serving the church, doing ministry in the church, we are serving You. Father God, we thank You for Your church. We thank You for Your Word and revealing Yourself to us. Father God, we thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, we are going over about being a functioning member of the church. If we believe that the only thing that is required of us is to come to church once a week, perhaps twice a week, listen and leave and do nothing else, then we've got it wrong. That's not being a functioning member of a church. Your job is not just to come here and to listen and that's all. In fact, you know, Paul says here, getting into our text, we'll save a little bit as we get through our text here, but Paul says, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were made to drink of one Spirit. But we need to understand something. Now, Paul does use this analogy in other places of Scripture about the body of Christ as a whole, being different members and such and what have you. He's also using this in reference to the one local church, the Church of Corinth. Here in our church, we have a number of different people here with different personalities and different gifts and different talents and so forth. Some may be, according to what Paul's analogy is, some may be a hand, some may be a foot, some may be a leg, an ear, an eye, so forth. But the whole point is that we must work together as we should. If we are one body, we have been baptized by the one Spirit. And by the way, just as a little footnote there, being baptized by the Spirit, a little bit on that, is that we are not baptized by the Spirit after we are saved. When you become a believer, you are baptized with the Spirit, and the one who baptizes you is Christ. The Spirit does not baptize anyone. You have been baptized into the Spirit by Christ. And by doing so, and all of us being baptized into the Spirit by Christ, we are united. And here we are at this local body, this local church that the Lord has allowed us to have, and we must work together and to use what gifts and talents we have in service to Christ through the church. You are called here for that purpose. Whatever your gift is, you may think it's unimportant. It's not unimportant. It's part of the body. It can be a number of different gifts. And as you know, you read through the chapter here, you know, Paul mentions, you know, knowledge and wisdom, various tongues and prophecy and all this sort of thing. Now, granted, these particular gifts have ceased. They were apostolic gifts and they are in service no longer. But the principle is still the same. The Spirit has given you gifts. And if you wonder what your gift is, pray about what it is that the Lord has blessed you with doing well. Maybe organizational skills. Maybe it's being a people person, being able to talk to others. And we'll go through a number of them here in just a moment. But there's a number of gifts that Paul mentions in Romans chapter 12. There's a number of gifts that he mentions in Ephesians chapter 4. The church is not just a country club. It's not just a social gathering. You are here for the purpose to be equipped for the work of ministry. That's why God has given His church the gifts that He has. You read in Ephesians 4, He says He gave some pastors and teachers and evangelists all for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Everybody has a ministry to do. Nobody is exempt from doing ministry. Whether you're young or you're old, it doesn't matter. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been empowered by the Spirit of Christ for the work of ministry. And in fact, just to refresh your memory about the significance of Pentecost. When we read on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit come in the fullest measure and so forth, the significance wasn't that the Spirit come to indwell you. That wasn't the significance of Pentecost. The Spirit was already indwelling in the Old Testament. The Spirit indwelled believers in the Old Testament. What was the significance of Pentecost? The significance was that the Spirit come in the fullest measure to empower all believers for the work of ministry. You read in the Old Testament, only certain ones had the Spirit come upon them to do something great, whether it was the judges or whether it was certain kings or the prophets or whoever. In the New Covenant, the Spirit has come in the fullest measure to empower all believers for the work of ministry. That was the significance of Pentecost, and that is what we have received as well. We have received that empowerment for the work of ministry. The problem is that we decide for ourselves, well, that's just not for me. Maybe that's for somebody else. I don't like to be out front doing whatever gift that I have. A number of excuses that we come up with to say why I don't do something. You have not been empowered by the Spirit. You have not been given the gifts and talents that you have to put them on a shelf. You've been given them for the work of ministry. You've been baptized with the same Spirit. Everybody's been baptized with the same Spirit. There are none that are higher level spirit Christians or whatever the case is than others. You have received the Spirit to the fullest measure, just as everybody else who is a believer has received the Spirit to the fullest measure. You're to use your gifts. Use them in service to the church. Use them along with the ministries of the church in service to Christ. We were all baptized. We were all made to drink of the one Spirit. As he says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And he goes on to explain the ear and the eye and so forth, just as we read. Your gifts are not unimportant. If you've been called here, you've been called here for a purpose. Now, granted, we all try to grow in Christ. We try to study and to come on Wednesdays for the Bible study and so forth, that we can grow in our knowledge and understanding of Christ and understanding of the Scriptures and so forth. And that is one part of discipleship. Having others to learn and to understand what God has said in His Word, why He said it, so to speak, and a number of other things. But part of discipleship is not just understanding what God has done for you in Christ or what Christ has done for you and all that. That's part of it. Part of discipleship is not just attending church, but part of discipleship is also understanding what your calling is, understanding what your gift is, and using it. That's where we got to get to in the church. We got to get to the place where we understand, this is my calling, this is my gift, this is what the Lord has blessed me with. I am called to this local body for a certain reason. Are there any ministries that I could use my gift at? Maybe not. Well, let's start one. If there isn't a ministry that is here right now that you can use your gifts in or your talents in or your calling or whatever the case is, then we need to start one. But first we need to understand what it is. But if you keep silent and you don't say anything and we just go along, what good is that doing? You say, well, my gift is unimportant. Well, God's Word says that He is given to each one according to His will. Whatever your gift is, it has been given to you because the Spirit willed that you would have this one. Now, the problem here that we're reading is that sometimes we envy other people's gifts. The foot says, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. I'm not even going to do anything. The ear says, I'm not an eye. So because I'm not an eye, well, I ain't doing anything. I'm not even part of the body. You have been given your gift and your talent according to the Spirit, according to His will, according to His desire, and it is not unimportant. We don't envy other people's gifts. There's no need to envy other people's gifts. You have been given a gift as well. You've been given a purpose. Nobody's exempt from that. There is not one person that is sitting here today. If you are a believer in Christ, there is not one sitting here today whose gift is to sit and do nothing. That is not your gift. Your gift is to glorify God in whatever He's called you to do. There's a number of gifts. Just to look at a couple, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, we'll jump into verse 4. Paul says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, again, according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with all liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You have a number of gifts that are shown here that God has given to His people, God has given to His church according to the grace, according to the measure of grace, rather, and we must employ it in the service to Christ. It is not just going to church and thinking that you're doing God a favor by showing up on Sundays or Wednesdays. If you really want to please God, if you want to please God, what is it that you do? God, I came to your house today. I hope you're proud of me. I showed up. I get a check. You want to please God, then you be a good steward of the gift that is given to you. You use it. You don't sit on it. You don't do nothing with it. Use it.
You've been called to this body to use your gifts, to use your talents in service to Christ. One thing to understand is that, you know, there is an order in the church, of course. You know, you have elders and deacons and so forth, and there's a chain there, I guess. But the fact of the matter is that we have to understand what our people's gifts are so we can implement some ministries. It's not the thing not to do is to sit out there and wait for us to come up with an idea that we can use you in. We may never do that because we may not know what it is your gift is. And so the thing to do is if you have good ideas, you have good outreach ideas or whatever the case is, come to us, say, hey, I got this idea. Maybe we can do this right here. We'll talk about it. Hey, we could probably do that. We have to understand, what is the vision of the church? The vision of the church is to make disciples for Christ. By doing so, to introduce people to a real relationship with Christ. Not anything shallow, not anything that's just on the surface, so to speak, to introduce people to a real relationship with Christ, and by doing so, have them to grow in Christ. That's the purpose of the church. Now, if you have an idea or something like that, or you have a gift that you can use to implement into that particular purpose, then we want to know about it. Because we want to use it. And we want to hold you accountable for using it. Now, my gift is to expound to you the Scriptures. That's what my gift is. This is what I do. I try to be faithful at it. Other people's gift, perhaps it's up here playing an instrument or it's singing. They try to do it to the best of their ability and to be faithful doing it. Other people are in here teaching in our children's program. They do it to the best of their ability because that's what they've been called to do. You have Bikers for Christ. Bikers for Christ, they go and minister to other groups that probably a lot of us wouldn't be able to get into. And they do it faithfully because that's their calling. You have the VA ministry that we have, that we go there and we're not just a fly-by-night church that do something once a quarter and say, hey, we did our good deed. It is something continuous that we do because we want to be able to show Christ to others. Now, if there's other things that we can do, different people groups that we can reach or whatever the case is, we want to know about it. And we want to hold you accountable again to be a functioning member of this body. Our church has been going for a little over 2.5 years. We've accomplished a lot in that 2.5 years of structure and doctrine and all those things. But one thing that we have lacked, as a church, is being intentional in our evangelism. That is one area where we have not done well. And one thing that we want to start doing is to fulfill that purpose as a church to do those very things that we have not been doing. And it's to our shame that we haven't been doing it. There are many places around here that we can minister at. Individually, there are people in our lives that we know that we can minister to, whether you're young or old, whatever the case is, and we neglect doing it. Then we pray to the Lord, give us opportunity. Well, if we're waiting on the Lord to give us an opportunity instead of us seeing opportunities and being intentional on it, then yeah, we probably won't be able to evangelize a lot. But there are a number of things, folks, you have been called to do. You have been called to do. You've been called to this body, and you've been called to share the gospel. You've been called to study the Scriptures. You've been called to learn them. You've been called to assemble yourselves together. You've been called to give a good or to keep a good prayer life. You've been called for a number of things. In performing these things, you are a functioning member. Sitting and doing nothing. And thinking that attendance is good enough. It's not. It is not. We want to encourage you. Whatever it is that you have, maybe it's a ministry outside of the church or whatever, we want to encourage you. We want to help. We want to be part of it, that we can help you accomplish whatever it is that you have a vision to do. But one thing we must know is what it is. And again, it's about starting new ministries. It's about reaching out. It's about evangelizing. Evangelism is so important. It's one of the main things that a church should be doing. One thing that we have talked about a number of times that I don't want to see at our church, and so far we haven't went that route, but just to reiterate it again, one thing that I don't want to see in our church is that we're so inwardly focused that we do nothing outside of the church. Now, granted, the church is here for a purpose. The church itself, the church gathering, is not necessarily for unbelievers. The church gathering itself is for the saints, for the equipping of ministry, the saints gathering together to give our Lord praise and honor. And then we must go out. Learn, study, apply, and go out. Do your ministry. We want you to be functioning members of the church. There's a lot of different gifts, by the way. Just to name a few. Perhaps your gift is in some of these categories here. Whether your gift is discernment, exhortation, evangelism, faith, giving, guidance, helping, serving, knowledge, leadership, mercy, teaching, wisdom. There are gifts of organization. There are gifts of administration, of all those type things like that. There are a number of things. Whether it's singing or playing an instrument. Whether it's teaching. We always need teachers over here. What is your gift? And if you're not quite sure, then genuinely seek it out. Because you do have one. And you're not exempt from having one. The Spirit has given you one. And we want to encourage you. We want to nurture that gift. Let me read to you just a few quotes. Let's see. This guy has a very unique name. His name is Thabiti Nyabule. Pretty sure he's from Africa. But here's what he says. He names a number of things that what does a committed church member look like? And here's some things to think about and reflect upon. And this is something, too, that we must individually do, is to reflect upon these things. A self-examination. One who attends regularly, who seeks peace among the body, edifies others. And by the way, that's what your gift is to be used for, is to edify the body, to build up the body. Warns and admonishes others, pursues reconciliation, bears with one another, being patient, long-suffering, and such. Supports the work of the ministry. One who supports the work of the ministry at the church. Here's what he says. A committed member gives resources, time, and talent to the furtherance of the gospel in the local church. He lives out the Bible's call to the body of Christ. A healthy, committed church member receives and applies the grace of God by working to support the ministry of the local church and excels in giving what he has already received from God to gospel work. Here's a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says this, "It is by the grace of God that a congregation is permitted to gather visibly in this world to share God's word and sacrament. Not all Christians receive this blessing. The imprisoned, the sick, the scattered, lonely, the proclaimers of the gospel in heathen lands stand alone. They know that the visible fellowship is a blessing. They remember, as the psalmist did, how they went with the multitude to the house of God and with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Therefore, let him who until now has had the privilege of living in common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his heart. Let him thank God on his knees and declare it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brethren." Very powerful statement, isn't it? If you have the ability to be assembled here in this land where it is free to do so, then you give God praise for being able to have that privilege. And you give God praise by using what it is that He is giving you, what you have already received, to the gospel work. Paul says we're one body, many members. But the fact is that if not all of us are functioning together, then it's not unified for one, and the body is not as it should be. He says in verse 26 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There is a unifying principle here. We can't just have hands and feet with nothing in between. We need to have the whole body working together, working in unison. And that's where we need to get to. A number of things, you know, we had talked about in the past of starting and doing, but the one thing that we need is people willing to do it. If you see a need in the church, why not help out with it? If it's not your thing, it may not be your thing. But still supporting that work is important. Whether, again, whether it's Bikers for Christ, we can be supporters of Bikers for Christ, whatever they need us to do. Whether it's the VA ministry, a number of us go to the VA ministry, others may not, but you can still support that ministry because one thing that we always need is food. You can give some food, we'll take your food up there and feed our veterans. If it's teaching in here, if we have enough people to teach in there, it'd only be maybe once a month, something like that. But we would give you the curriculum and help you to do it. Other ministries that you have good ideas on, let us know. Because we want to constantly be growing. We don't want to become, as the prophet said, those who are at ease in Zion. We want to work. We want to minister. Let us all strive to be functioning members of the church. Amen. Let's have a moment's word of prayer. Your gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come into your presence once again. Give you praise and honor, Father God, for your word. Father God, for teaching us that all of us are equals. Father God, there is not one who is more spiritual than another. Father God, we were all dead in trespasses and sin and were made alive by Christ. Father God, we ask and pray that you would give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And Father God, encourage that we would see opportunities and that we would take advantage of those opportunities, whether it's sharing the gospel with others or exercising our gifts and talents for the church. Father God, let us always strive to please you in all that we do and all that we say and being good stewards of the gifts that you have given us. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, Amen.